Please be seated. As the chairperson of the 2018 Stewardship Committee, I would like to thank each and every member of our St. Thomas's Church family for your intentional generosity. Each of you plays a significant role in making our church family such a special community. As I said a couple of weeks ago, pledge cards are our financial faith promises to the current and future generations of our St. Thomas's family, as well as to our community. You, the present as well as the past members of St. Thomas's Church family, are truly appreciated and are to be celebrated. Through your prayers, resilient spirit, hard work, and intentional generosity, we have secured pledge commitments totaling $150,382 as of November 25th, 2018. While we are closer to where we need to be, we are still on our way. For those of you who have not yet turned in your pledge cards, you may be receiving a friendly call from a member of our stewardship committee. Please don't send us directly to voicemail or hang up on us. We're just a friendly bunch of folks who are looking to check in with you. As Christians, we are called to model kindness, love, peace, justice, generosity, and gratitude. Powerful and wonderful things are happening as a result of your giving. As we continue to support our ministries and missions, I again thank you for standing together and stepping boldly to the next level to continue to grow our faith through generosity. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry, for that encouraging word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. It's the wrong season for that. Our gospel reading feels out of place. Let me try that again. Look at the shopping malls and the storefronts. Once they sprout garland and wreaths and jingle, jingle, jingle comes from the loudspeakers, you know the season. Christmas is near. Or Thanksgiving. Or at least Halloween. Maybe. These are the signs, aren't they, for we in the church in the West, the world's reminder to us that it is Advent. Advent for us is the beginning of the church year. And in Advent, as Christmas approaches, in Advent, the ancient church calls us to hold on a minute. Just like you don't get the resurrection without the passion, right? In the season of repentance that approaches. So you don't get the nativity, Jesus' birth, without a period of expectation. And waiting. It takes 9 months, right? The baby Jesus does not appear in the nativity creche until December 24th. But what a beginning we find in today's gospel reading. Lest you forget that you have come to a church with a memory and a tradition that stretches back further than Black Friday and the shopping season. Our lectionary gives us Jesus on the eve of the Passion, speaking in apocalyptic terms about the coming of the end of the world. Now, apocalyptic speech is political speech. It is a message to those who are in power that change is coming. Because sweet little baby Jesus isn't all candy canes and sugar plum fairies. At the birth of Jesus, the world would tremble. The angels would sing. Strange practitioners of foreign faiths would come from afar. And such would be the distress of the powers that be. Such would be the distress of the powers upon whose reign Jesus is intruding, that a whole town of innocent babies would be slaughtered. And a young family would flee to live as refugees in a foreign country, another continent. I only wish those days were over. There is something ultimately good and embracing about the coming of Jesus, but it isn't necessarily going to sit comfortably with us. When we make space for Jesus in our lives, it's going to cause some discomfort, irritation. When we do it right, we'll likely encounter some crisis that demands some major shifts and changes in our understanding of ourselves and of our God and of the world around us. And yet, we put up with those discomforts, right? We willingly subject our children to polio vaccinations, right? We walk ourselves or the one we love into the hospital to go under the knife to have those cancerous bits removed. The cure, or even the prevention, is worth the discomfort. This is why we talk to our therapists about those things that we would really rather not even remember. This is why we go to the recovery meetings and share our struggles with strangers. The process is demanding. Sometimes it is deeply unpleasant, and it's always challenging. But we know the alternative, and we know it's worse. We like the baby Jesus because he seems safe, harmless even. But for those who had the eyes to see, baby Jesus was a world changer. The angels and the shepherds rejoiced. They could see the change coming. Those with a vested interest in the status quo trembled. They could see the change coming. They wouldn't have given a second thought to the use of tear gas to make him turn back. Here's the good news of Advent. The baby Jesus didn't just lie in the manger and coo. Jesus rocked the world and showed us the path to something better. When death is your destiny, disruption is a good thing. When sorrow is your standard, a shift in circumstances comes as a relief. If you hear the promises of Advent, the promise of change in your life, and you recoil, if you hear it as a threat, then you might find yourself allied with Herod and Pilate, and all those who fought so hard to defend the status quo from Jesus' intrusion. If our church is happy and comfortable with the way things are going, then Jesus' promise of change isn't going to sound like good news. But if you're homeless, if you are hungry, if you are hurting, if you are unemployed or underpaid or unappreciated, if you are looking for something better, then I have good news for you. This is Advent. The people heard about the coming of Jesus and they all trembled. Some of them trembled for joy. Some of them trembled for fear. And most of us tremble for both reasons. Now this is Advent. And we know that Jesus was already born. That Jesus has already died. And Jesus has already been raised from the dead. And so today's gospel doesn't talk about a manger. Today's gospel has Jesus talking about his second coming, a return that we still await today. And just like baby Jesus lying in a manger, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory will bring change and disruption. For those of us who have met with Jesus in baptism, we who gather here to celebrate Advent and to renew our own alignment with the mission of Jesus, the mission of God, the mission of God's church, for us who have known Jesus in his coming in our own lives and in the lives of those around us, that second coming has already begun. We individually and we as a church community are bringing into the world a foretaste, an appetizer of that second, final coming of Jesus. When those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled, and those who are fixated on the riches and the systems of this world will be dismayed and disappointed. Be alert, says Jesus. Be alert for what? Be alert for the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is coming in some final, fulfilling way that will bring us rest and completion. Sometimes we talk about that as the end of time. Be alert, says Jesus. The Son of Man is coming not only someday at the end of time, but Jesus is coming today, even now, in your life and in mine. Have you not seen Jesus come at different times and circumstances already in your life? Many of you have told me you have. So I was at a store here in Glassboro this week. It's a new store that's just opened up. And I wasn't wearing my collar or anything. But this guy decided he needed to tell me a story. And it was a story about when he was in the hospital and he was on the verge of death, and Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus encouraged him to pray and said, if you pray and what you're praying for is good for you, my Father is going to answer that prayer. Amen. The man wasn't even a believer until then. That man was changed by his encounter with Jesus, and he had a story to tell me. You've seen Jesus too. Did you recognize him? Jesus may have come to you in the guise of a friend or a family member. Maybe a person right here at church. Someone who shared with you a hug or a word or a meal. Or maybe even just an understanding presence in your time of need. Maybe you have encountered Jesus in a hymn or in a reading or a sermon. Maybe you encounter Jesus at the altar rail as you receive the real presence of Jesus embodied in the bread and the wine. What is the encounter with Jesus that brought you in the doors here today instead of staying at home in your comfortable bed? What is the encounter with Jesus that brought you to St. Thomas in the first place? When did you first hear Jesus' invitation to faith? Be alert. That means keep an eye out, not only for the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, but be alert to his presence, more subtle presence, for the ways that Jesus has met you even today, every day. This is a busy season, isn't it? This is a time for shopping and for parties, for gathering with family. Don't lose Advent for the Christmas preparation. Be alert. Do what you need to do, right? Set aside some time to do your shopping and some time to do your baking and whatever else needs to be done. But don't shortchange yourself for time to be alert, for time to be contemplative, for time to eagerly look for and receive the presence of Jesus even now, even in the people around you. Advent is the beginning of the church year. Advent is a season designed to disrupt our day-to-day busyness and to recall us to an awareness of the presence of Jesus even now. Advent begins with a warning. Jesus will bring disruption to your world. If you are attached to something else more than you're attached to Jesus, that disruption will be scary and unwelcome. But if it's Jesus you're looking for, if it's the kingdom of God for which you yearn, then you will see Jesus coming even now in your own life with power and great glory. I wish you a holy and a fearful and a joyful Advent. Amen. Amen.